Well, I appreciate this opportunity of being here today. I've only been licensed in the insurance business since 1962, 54 years ago. My Utah license number is 1069. Now, I look on yours. Yours is 5 or 6 digits long. I remember when I got my CLU back in about 1970 or so, I was about the 60th person in the state of Utah that had ever acquired CLU. So he's right. I'm old enough that I can remember when the Dead Sea was just sick. That was a long time ago. Well, most of you are new, or at least somewhat new. Now, I'm on the other end of this business. I would estimate in the last 4 years, I've settled at least 50 death claims. Now, we had a speaker this morning that when 9/11, he'd settle like 40 in one day, that occurred to him. Mine haven't been near that dramatic, but it's a very interesting process when you're on the other end and you take checks to families. And for some reason, I've never had one of them say, hey, this is too much. But I have had some interesting comments on that when they'll say, I had a widow just a month or so ago, and I think we had sold her husband $25,000, and it was a participating whole life policy. It had grown to $40,000. And she said, how come you didn't sell Ralph more insurance than that? I said, do you remember about 30 to 40 years ago we were sitting here in this very house, how difficult it was to get $30 a month out of him at that time? She said, oh yeah, I do remember. But you know, when they get $40,000 income tax free, it changes their attitude in life a lot. Well, this is really a great business. What's our job? Our job is helping other people. Now, if you're in that for some other reason, you might have a tougher job in this business. But in order to help people, we need to keep our own lives in order and balanced. Now, in order to do this, is an ethics class. So we're going to talk about ways to keep yourself out of trouble ethically. And if you keep your life in balance, it'll work. It just will work. I know that. So we're going to talk about how to do this. Now, I spent a couple of years in mainland China teaching English at universities. And you know, in China, they seem to ride a lot of bicycles. By the way, now they're all motorized. But they still have a lot of bicycles. And they keep those bicycle wheels round. Why? They run a lot smoother when they're round. I'm comparing that to your life. If you keep your life in balance and round, you're going to have an easier ride through life. Now, compare this, Mark, to maybe a little rough ride. Turn that. If you're going to ride this bicycle through life, it might be a little tougher. You might have a bumpier ride. Okay, so our objective here today, being an ethical class, we're just going to talk about this. So to keep our own wheel of life properly balanced. Now, who's responsible for doing this? Is it your manager?
No.
It's you. When you finally decide you're the one accountable for keeping yourself in the business and balanced, you're going to live a happier life. Now, our objective here today is to teach you how to live a happy life. Now, you know, we stand at crossroads each minute, each hour, each day, making choices. We choose the thoughts we allow ourselves to think. We choose the acts we allow ourselves to perform. And we make these choices based on the value system that we've selected to govern our life. Now, in choosing that value system, we're probably making one of the most important decisions we will ever make in our life. I'll give you an example. Let's say you decide in your value system you're not going to smoke. You've saved yourself 385 decisions later on when they say, "Would you like a cigarette?" You've already made that decision. Will that make a difference in your long time life? When values are clear, if you're writing a note, write this down. When values are clear, decisions are easy. If you get that point in this class, I think we've accomplished a lot of things. Now, we're going to talk about different parts of our life to keep it in balance. And I'm starting up with emotional health. Does anybody ever get down and get a bad attitude? Does it cause a little bump on your wheel so it's not round and running smooth? Now, do we accept responsibility or do we rationalize, justify, blame, and excuse? We all do that sometimes, I'm thinking. So, there's two things, and I was interested in the talks. Now, Dan Clark gave a very good, motivational talk. Motivation gets you going. What keeps you going? Habits. Do you think that's true? Motivation will get you all excited and get you started, but habits will keep you going. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I should remember who quoted that, but...
Swindell, I think.
Okay, you're right. Thank you. Okay, I'll take the credit. Now, let's go to physical health. There's the quote I should have.
Charles Swindell.
Okay, let's get on to physical health. Now, what do we have in physical health? We got to eat right, proper exercise, proper rest, avoid harmful drugs, alcohol,
et cetera.
There's a lot of things we need to do there. Now, are we doing this? I'm not going to give you a class on how to stay healthy. You know that. But we really need to do that in a good manner. For example, eating right. And I've kind of got it. But you know what? Some of us have got what I call the furniture disease. That's where your chest drops into your drawers. Yeah, you know what I mean. More than others. Now, what about smoking? I really used this a lot when I was in China. Mark, we got a picture of a young gal, and this was how she looked before smoking. I've got this one here. Now, I'm going to show you what happens when she took up smoking. You think that might happen? I mean, it can be very interesting how that can happen, but that's the same picture. I'm just turning it over. Well, I'm not going to give you a whole lesson on how to take care of your health, but that's a good part of living a happy life. You need to do that. The next part of life that I want to talk about is your vocation and education. There's several things. Vocation, you should make proper use of your skills, energy, time, imagination, concentration. Successful people do what needs to be done, when it should be done, whether they want to or not. Now, if you get that in mind, that will help you in a lot of times. You can put off what needs to be done, but if you want to be successful, you're going to do it what needs to be done when it should be done. They just form good habits. Now, on your handout, I want to take a time and talk about habits. You see that says, "Who am I?" We're going to read this because I think it's important. Who am I? I am your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm completely at your command. Half the tasks you do, you might just as well turn over to me and I'll do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me just exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I'm the servant of all great men and also of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, but I work with all the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a man. You may run me for profit, you may run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will put the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. I am habit. Now, I want you to take your own situation and think, what habits are making you great, and what habits are not doing the same job? Do we all have perfect habits? No. Are we all keeping our wheel perfectly round? No. We all got bumps on them. Don't look for them as failures. Look for them as learning opportunities to correct and go on. We're not all got everything going to go smooth and perfectly throughout your life. We're all having bumps here and there, but you can do that and make that work very successfully. Over my many years in the business, a lot of people don't really get into the business, this vocation. They think, I don't know what it is now, maybe it's multi-level. They're going to try some multi-level business and try the financial planning thing together. And I heard at a talk like this years ago, he who chases two jackrabbits will end up losing them both. Now, you think that's true? I mean, we've all been through that. If you have a gold mine, and this is a gold mine, this industry, why go looking for another one? Does that make sense to you? All right, let's talk a little bit about finance. I had so much fun with this. By the way, when I was in China for a couple of years teaching English at universities, at a very prestigious university, Tongji University in Shanghai, 54,000 students there. That's as much as BYU and Utah put together. And I went in to see the dean. I'd already been 1 year at a different city and a different university. I said, "What do you want me to teach?" He says, "Well, I want you to teach kids that have their master's degree and they have to have an English class in order to get their PhD. Very bright students. They were engineers, architects, computer people, doctors, dentists, lawyers, very bright people, but they had to have an English class. They could understand 95% of what I was saying, but they'd had no practice speaking, so they needed an English class. Well, I says, "Good. Have you got a manual?" "No." I says, "Well, have you got a curriculum?" "No." I says, "What do you want me to do?" "Teach them English." She says, "You'll be teaching in that building right over there." It was quite a modern building. She says, "You'll have 40 to 50 in a class, and you'll be teaching 14 hours a week." I thought, okay. So I had various ideas, like I'm talking to you today, about what I would do. And I'd break them into groups of four and walk around and talk to them. For example, I'd say, discuss the Ben Franklin tea of smoking and not smoking in English. And with 40 students, that means I'd have 10 tables around where I'd walk around and talk to them. But it was very interesting. They could name 20 reasons not to smoke, but the most they ever came up with was two or three that they should smoke. One was socially, one is it earned the government more money because of the taxes on cigarettes, and, you know, a couple other dumb things like that. But it was still I had at least 20 students every semester write me a note or come and say, hey, I quit smoking just because of our discussions. Now, it wasn't anything to do with, well, we did a financial deal. I says, how much does a pack of cigarettes cost in yuan, in the Chinese money? They'd tell me, and I'd say, how many do these workers smoke a day? Oh, maybe 1.5 or something. So we times it out. I says, and found out what it was costing them per month, then what it was costing them per year. I says, what rate of interest can you earn on your money? And they says, well, at least 4 and probably 5 in those days when we were there. So we put it to a chart on interest. I said, okay, you can either be a millionaire or you can keep smoking. I said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going back to Utah and go fishing. You know, it's up to you. You're the one that's going to make this decision. But now I'm back to habits a little bit there, and so on. It just makes a major difference. Now, there's only two things in this world that earn money. What are they? Smart guys like Stan know that. What's the answer, Stan or Roland? Or
people at work and capital at work.
Oh, man, see, Roland, he's been to school. He knows that. People at work and money at work. Now, if you never have any money or capital at work, how long do you have to work?
As long as you want,
the whole time.
There is no end. Now, do you think the American public understands that one simple statement? Can you imagine if they did? Your job is to teach them. What would that do to our welfare rolls if everybody understood that one basic principle? Have you ever been unhappy because you saved too much money?
No.
Back to habits again, right? Now, there are two kinds of people when it comes to interest. Those that understand it and those that don't. You know how you tell? Those that understand it, collect it. Those that don't understand it, pay it. I'm interested in learning about financial planners that have credit card debt. And you're a financial planner? Just throwing an idea out at you. Okay.
Two houses, right?
Pardon?
Two houses?
Okay. This is a simple way that I've explained interest here. Now, let's say that Derek and I have been good friends for all our lives. We went to school together. We graduated the same time. We got a job at the same place, earning about the same money. And luck would have it, we even bought houses right next to each other. And 10, 15 years later, Derek's a good saver. I'm not that good. But he saved a little money. He saved $10,000, and he's getting 8%. Now, don't worry about that interest. I'm just using an illustration. Now, don't ask me where he got 8%, because there are ways you can. But if he did that, he's earning $800 a year. He's smiling over there. I live next door. I owe $10,000, mostly in credit card, but some in my for a car and so on, and I'm averaging paying 16%. Well, 16% is $1,600 a year. My wife says, I don't understand it. How come the Bonnies can go out on the weekend and go to the movie and get a sandwich, go to the movie? Why can't we do that? Well, add these up. If he's earning $800, I'm paying $1,600. That's $2,400 a year difference. $200 a month, $50 a week on the littlest example I can come up with. The littlest example. Does that kind of help you understand interest? There's two kinds of people when it comes to interest, those that understand it and those that don't. The way you tell is those that understand it collect it, those that don't pay it. Very simple way to illustrate that. If anybody got any questions or comments, I don't want to just lecture to you. You're fine to talk to me about this. Where did you learn this stuff? Any of you ever read the pamphlet, The Richest Man in Babylon? I've read that probably when I got out of school, and then I reread it a month later, and then I reread it 6 months later, just the pamphlet, not the big book. And then till it became a habit. One of my associates years ago, we were at a meeting like this, and there were four of us sitting around the table, all with gray hair. And one of my friends came in and he said, "Man, that stock market's doing well." I said, "What do you mean it's doing well?" He says, "In the last week, my mutual funds have gone up $35,000. I says, "$35,000. How much do you have in there?" He says, "Oh, a little over $3 million." I says, "Tell me your story." Now, this has been 10 years ago when we were talking about this, but he said, "When my wife and I graduated from the University of Utah, we decided we would save a minimum of $100 a month, no matter what." Now, by the way, if you've ever looked at a chart that tells you how much interest you can earn on an interest chart, if you saved $100 a month and you were really well off, and he saved a little more, but in 40 years you would have $3,140,000. He did it. Now, I think he put a little more than 100 in a few times, but he did it. Now, let me ask you another question on interest. Let's say you found a credit card that only charged 15%. I don't think you'll find one if you don't pay your bills. They charge more than that. If you did, how much would you owe if you overspent $100 a month in 40 years? $3,140,000. Interest works for you or against you. Now, this is an ethics class. Why am I talking, beating you up on interest? Broke people make dumb decisions. I think Roland and some of my other, Wayne and some of my other acquaintances in here, I know at least 15 to 20 people that I've known, like Derek and Wayne and Roland and Stan and various people, at least 15 in this industry that have spent time in jail because they did something unethical. Am I right, Wayne?
You mean that I've been in jail?
No. But you know some of them. You've been around long. I know Roland knows some of them. Isn't that true? I mean, it happens. They didn't learn, you know, the facts about this particular thing. How are we doing time-wise? We okay?
Good.
All right. Let's finish this. We got plenty of time then. Okay. There's a couple other things on interest to tell you. If you just saved, if you had $100,000, you're 40 years old, you got 25 years to go, and you put it safely at 6%, that's how much you'd have. Let's say you take a little risk and you got $100,000 and the first 20,000, you lost it. No, well, that's the second one, actually. You didn't earn any money. The first 20, you lost. Yeah, this one, you lost all of it. The second 20, you didn't earn anything. And the next one, you earned 5%. The next 20, you earned 10. The last one, you earned 15. So what would you have? 658. That's just telling you different risks on different things. You might lose some, but you might come out pretty well. Just an idea. Go to the next. Okay, then we want to talk about relationships. Who should you have a good relationship with? Anybody got a comment on that? Your spouse? I'll agree that's good. But I tell you what, if you don't think you're worth anything, probably only one person will, your mother. She always thinks you're fine, no matter what. I mean, think about it. Isn't that true? You can do no wrong with your mother. But you can even with your spouse. Have a good relationship with your spouse. But some other things you need to do, you need to have a good relationship with your spouse, family, socially. You learn to treat people like you'd have them treat you. And this next one is an important thing. Learn to love people and use things. Don't love things and use people. Those 15 or 20 people I'm telling you about in our industry that spent time, they forgot about that one. It's an ethical class. Don't forget about that one. That's important. All right. What are we going to tie all this together with? Spirituality. Now, I'm not here teaching a religious class, but I think you need to have some integrity and character, be thoughtful, helpful. You could use all the Scout laws in this one, couldn't you? And by the way, my things on this, they're my ideas. You might do them a little bit different, but the main parts you still need to keep in balance. You need to do this. Now, I had a little bit of a problem when I was in China. I had two rules when we were over in China. One, you could not badmouth the Chinese government. Number two, you could not teach any church doctrine, spiritual doctrine. So I used this wheel a little bit while I was in China. Well, I couldn't really talk about it. So I put something else up there in the middle, and I put this in the middle of the wheel. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not the right thing to do, don't do it. And all those Chinese students said, that's a good idea. We can live with that. They had no clue. I gave them the Ten Commandments reduced down to three. So it wasn't really spiritual particularly. But is that good advice? Okay, let's talk about this wheel now. Can we get back with it? Which one of these parts of this wheel can you forget and don't need? Think about it. Which one of these parts of the wheel, just don't worry about it. Okay, then that's another. Which one is most important?
They
got to
be in balance.
Okay, now a lot of you, now, maybe not all of you, but a lot of you have thought, hey, I'm pretty good here and here and here, but I'm a little weak in this part. Has that gone through any minds? Can you improve somewhere? If you got a bump on your wheel, don't look at it as failure. Look at it as a learning experience. That's not the end of the world if you get a little. We're all going to have some bump on your wheel. But if you know where it is and what it is and what area, you can smooth it out. I got an email from one of my students. And by the way, we were in China the first year we went. We were in China during 9/11. Had only been there about 2 weeks. But one of my students that year emailed me a couple of months ago, and he said, I am just having a hard time in life, and I remember you told me how I could live a happy life. I got out your wheel, and I could tell which part of my wheel was not working as well. And he says, I'm just thanking you because I think I can solve my own problem and get back to living a happy life. Now, I think this can happen with each one of us. If anybody got any comments on that, which one's important? Which one's not important? Let's say that, I don't know, who can I pick on here? Wayne, did I tell you I was going to pick on you? Okay, let's say Wayne becomes a drug addict. And he's got a big bump on the physical wheel there. Now, I know he doesn't, so that's why I'm picking on him. Does that just affect him physically? Does it affect his work? Does it affect his money? Does it affect his relationship, his attitude, his spirituality? Can you see what I'm talking about? There's no getting around it. Stan, if you go home tonight and your wife says, I've had it, you're out. I mean, does that just cause a bump here? Or does that affect you emotionally? Does it affect you physically? You get the idea what I'm talking about?
I always learn that a happy wife, a happy life.
So, good. That's good. Thank you. So this is just some ideas, but now tell me this. Let's kick out the hub of the wheel. Never mind if it's not true, don't say it. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not, kick that out. What happens to the hub of the wheel, your bicycle wheel, if you kick the hub out?
Pretty wobbly.
It's going to fall apart. I think I've made the point on this, so you understand that. We got about what?
We've got about
5 to 6 minutes.
Okay.
The stamp's going around.
Okay. I want to give you... I don't know if you can turn that off, can you, for a minute, up here? I'm going to give you an idea that I went into a class and they talked about alternative investments. I thought, what the heck is that, a little while ago? And this is just an idea that Mark and I have used for a long time. But let's say that...
It's a sales idea.
Let's say that you're going through life. And when you first started out, I'll call it survival. I don't know if you started out in life, and some of you may be still there. When you went through it, got a little better, you got a few comforts in life. Then most of you, at least the ones I know in here, are living in luxury. Now, if you're living in luxury, and I think some of you'll relate to this, you've started out and you're going through this way in life, right? And if you're up here and you got more money, are you going to buy more luxury or are you going to save some? Everybody says, I'm going to save it. They don't, though. They go buy a bigger boat. They go buy, you know, something bigger than that. Now, you're either going to get more luxuries or... you're going to save it. Now, as insurance people, what can cause this to come crashing back down? I know you'll know, but number one is death. One is disability. Somebody said another, and I believe it, divorce. Okay, whoops, that's an E. What's the other one? And here's, I think, the big one. Dumb decisions. Is that true? Will they cause some financial aches? Now, when you show this to your clients, or think about it in yourself, your own situation, does that help you kind of see what's going on? Can this happen to, do you know anybody, your clients, this has happened to? They were doing well and everything fell apart. Now, let's say you tell me you're really dead on. You're going to save some money. Where are you going to put that money? Well, I tell you, there's five places you're going to put it. You're going to put it in the bank. That's exciting nowadays, isn't it? You can put it in real estate. You can put it in the stock market. You can put it with an insurance company. I wonder if anyone, that's a novel idea, isn't it? Now, what do you mean in life insurance? Either life or annuities. Or you can put it in collectibles. I'll just say gold, etc. Now, which is the best place to put it? Are there any more places to put it? In my 50 years in this business, the only other one I know is if you own your own business, you could put it in your own business. But other than that, if you don't own your own business, that's the only five places you can put it. Now, there are variations of every one of them. I understand that. Does that make sense to you? Is the bank good? Hey, I remember when Jimmy Carter was president in the 80s. I mean, we'd run over and deposit our paycheck at noon because my checking account was earning 6%. My checking account. The house I'm currently living in. My insurance company said, you've been a long-time employee. We'll lend you money at 1% less than the going rate. I only had to pay 12% on my mortgage. Can you imagine those days? Well, things change. I mean, over those years. Real estate, I don't know. I think you at least ought to own your own home. Whether or not you want to own a fourplex or something, I don't know. Stock market, if you can stand the ups and downs, I'm not against that. That can go, But, you got to live with that going up and down. Life insurance over all the 54 years I've been in here has been pretty consistent. You haven't made a million in it, but you haven't lost anything. How many calls did I get in 2008 and 9 that said, how much did I lose on my annuity? So good news is you never lost a penny. The bad news is we were paying you 6 or 7%. Now we might be down to the 3 that is guaranteed. Now, gold, I'm not against you putting money in there. I'm not sure you shouldn't have some in all of them. I'm just throwing an idea at you.
Yeah.
Are we getting close?
I think so. Where's the stamp at?
You're still going around the stamp? Okay, well, wait. I hope you've learned something here, but I want to hit on one more thing. Before we finish, I think that we all ought to learn to laugh and to smile. To laugh is to love. To laugh is to understand. To laugh is actually to forgive. Laughter can bring a feeling of peace to people who are not normally at ease with themselves or others. A smile costs nothing. Yet it creates so much. It enriches happiness in the home. It fosters goodwill in business. It's the countersign of friends. A smile is daylight to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be begged, bought, borrowed, or stolen. Its smile is no earthly good to anyone until it's given away. So, if in the course of the day some of your friends and acquaintances are too tired to give you a smile, Give them one of yours. Nobody needs a smile quite so much as those who have none to give. Now may your wheel be round and the good things of life be yours always. Thank you for being here.